Now, that's okay for the United States, but why did it affect the rest of the world? Why did UK banks get into such a mess as a result of what was going on? Well, the reason is through a process which is known as securitisation. Unfortunately, we haven't got time to sort of talk in a great deal of detail about securitisation. It's a difficult issue, but I'll just sort of give you a flavour of essentially what's going on. Now, the basic point is that in the United States, for various historical reasons, if you go along to a US bank and ask for a mortgage, the US bank won't keep that loan on its own books. Won't be a part of its own balance sheet. What it essentially does is to sell that loan along with other people's loans along to some other intermediary. And the best known intermediaries of these things are what are known as Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, which we won't go into. And essentially what happens to these things is that these loans gets bundled up and sold on in a form of security known as residential mortgage-backed securities. And these residential mortgage-backed securities essentially can be traded on international markets. Now, in the United States, it's made an awful lot of sense because essentially what happens by this route is it increases the underlying liquidity of the financial system. So if the original bank sells them on to some second party, they can then create more mortgages and so on and so forth. And so it increases liquidity in the system. But the key point about residential mortgage-backed securities is they are internationally tradable. And the UK some UK banks bought an awful lot of these US residential mortgage-backed securities. Now, again, this is fine while the prices of houses are actually rising, because essentially the price of the mortgage-backed security will be based upon what's actually happening to the underlying housing value. But as soon as house prices started to fall in the United States, the value of these residential mortgage-backed securities also fell. And because UK banks were not just US banks were holding these things, but also banks worldwide, including the United Kingdom, were holding these things, then the whole of the international financial system is affected by these things. And one of the problems that was initially is that no one really knew what was the exposure of, for example, UK banks to the US residential mortgage-backed securities market. And that causes problems. Now, supposing you are, let's say, a UK financial institution, and you are considering lending to another UK bank through the wholesale money markets. Let's say that other institution would be the Northern Rock, to take a topical example. You don't necessarily know what the state of the balance sheet of the Northern Rock actually is. You don't know the exposure, initially, of the Northern Rock to residential mortgage-backed securities. That makes the Northern Rock a risky proposition, and you're much less likely to be willing to lend to that institution than you would otherwise be. Well, that generalises. It wasn't just the Northern Rock was caught up in this, but the whole of the UK financial system. No one actually knew the extent to which UK banks were exposed to the residential mortgage-backed securities markets in the US. So what's going to happen under that situation? Well, essentially, no one's going to lend to anyone else. The whole system seizes up through what's known as the wholesale money market. No banks are prepared to lend to each other. And essentially, that's what the credit crunch actually was. It's a failure of each of the institutions to lend to each other. Now, one solution to that might be to say, okay, rather than financing mortgages or business investment proposals through wholesale money markets, through bank lending to each other, but we could do it through retail markets. Retail markets are essentially the funds that you and I put into banks and building society on our deposit accounts. Okay? And obviously, the banks can then lend those out to firms in principle, or in terms of mortgages, or lending to firms. Trouble is, I showed you a graph a little bit earlier, that the savings ratio for households had actually collapsed as well. So there was a shortage of funds coming through that route, through what's known as the retail route as well. So the banks were facing the inability to raise funds both through wholesale markets, through lending amongst themselves, but they also were not getting retail funds coming in through households as well. So, if they were not getting the funds coming in, They couldn't lend out to households in terms of mortgages, and they couldn't lend to firms in terms of business opportunities. And essentially, that's went on.